Okay, thank you. Good evening. It's September 1st. This is a special meeting of the KPFK local station board. We passed a motion at our regular business meeting in August to hold this meeting to discuss KPFK finances. And our secretary, Janine Rowan, will call the roll. Now, this is Michael Novick, the chair, speaking.
Michael Adler. Ellen Beek.
Ellen Beek.
Thank you. Fred Blair.
Fred Blair is present.
Thank you. Sandy Childs. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Thank you. Jan Goodman. Eric C. Jacobson?
Here.
Thank you. Abelia Jones? Ali Lexa?
Here.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach?
I believe she asked for excused absence. Oh. She has a regular commitment on Wednesdays.
Michael Novick?
Present.
James Osborne? Robert Payne. Lydia Ponce.
Present.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas.
Present. Present.
Thank you. Paul Roberson.
Being waived. You have to unmute yourself, Paul.
You could click on his square and ask him to unmute.
Put in the chat that he's at his computer.
Paul, are you able to unmute? No.
He shook his head no. He is there though. Again.
Okay. Janine Rohn is present. Mansoor Sabah. Oscar Ulloa.
Present.
Thank you. Polina Vasilia.
I'm here.
Thank you. Beth Van Guten.
Here.
Thank you. Harvey Westerman.
Here.
Thank you. Kiana Williams. Okay, and Mo Thomas. I don't think we have him yet. I don't have his number handy.
Janine, Fred here. Do you want me to, you want me to email Mo with the contact with the?
Yeah, I can do it. I mean, I'm doing it right now. So we, right now we have 15 of our 24.
And
I also have Michael Adler responding. I think he had the wrong time.
Okay, well, we do have a quorum, and so we'll get underway. Lydia, could you do a land acknowledgement and remind us about comportment?
Are you asking me?
Yes. Sorry, I'll try to speak up.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Wanted to say what an honor it is, and my heart's very humbled to be on the call. I'm coming back to San Diego, so I apologize for joining late. All of us acknowledge that this is unceded indigenous land, and to the north we have the Tatavium in the valley, to the south the Hachaman in Orange County, and the Los Angeles Basin and Conga land and to the Chumash land. And we acknowledge these ancestors and we give thanks every day for allowing us to be clumsy on their land and sending prayers for everyone, including Louisiana, including anyone in that wake of that hurricane, Haiti, all the people in Afghanistan, and all the people who are suffering right now without food, water, and we lift them up in prayer to have Creator protect them, and we acknowledge that we are relatives, and we will treat each other much better than we have in the past. Aho, matafiyasa.
Aho, thank you, Lydia. Basic agenda item tonight is finances, and James Sagerton has joined us, who is the chair of the National Finance Committee of the Pacifica National Board. Thank you, James. And Barry Brooks is here, our business manager. There were several requests that I saw for excused absences. Could somebody run down who they know has asked for an excused absence?
The only one I saw was Barbara's.
Let me check my email again. I thought I saw something from Mansoor Saba.
Mansoor said he has he's at a job training for a new job he's starting.
Right. Yeah. Okay, are there any objections to excused absences for Barbara and Mansoor? How about Sandy? I thought there was something from Sandy.
Yeah, Sandy's having her computer repaired. She's at a Apple repair store at the moment.
Yes, it's, okay. She'll be unable to attend. All right, so that's three excused absence requests. Are there any objections? Okay, hearing none, we'll consider those excused. Can you indicate that in the record, Janine? And we do want to, Paul's motion some time ago was to request support for the station financially, which I think is, his Jan, I'll admit her, sorry. Very important at this moment. That's why we're having this meeting on the finances. Because
Paul's motion some time ago was to request support for the station financially.
I don't know where that's coming from. Somebody recording this meeting and playing it back?
Apparently so.
Very important at this moment. That's why we're having this meeting on the
coming from Sue Cohen.
Sue, yeah. Sue, I'm sorry.
I just muted Sue, Michael.
Okay, thank you. Sue Cohen Johnson. All right, yeah, so we do ask everyone, a lot of people on the call, and I'm sure most of you are supporters of the station and members, and I think if you can see your way to make additional donations or to help figure out how to raise additional funds. Very important for the station right now. We're basically operating at a deficit on a day-by-day basis right through the fund drive that just finished. So I texted Mo. I haven't seen him join the call yet, but maybe we can start with the Treasurer's report. Fred, did you want to run down some of the information you did send us in writing? Because not everybody has seen that. I didn't have a chance to post it yet website.
Okay. You want me to read basically my report? I sent out a three-page report today. I have a number of tables in there with numbers. I'm not going to try and read that. The main thing is that the KPFK Local Finance Committee met on August 12th of last month, and and we had the business manager, Barry Brooks, there give a report on the finances for August. The operational bank account at that time on August 11th had $6,491.79 in it. Michael, there's an awful lot of background noise that I hear. In August, the interim general manager, Mo Thomas, was not at the finance meeting. The main news, of course, is last month that, we finally finished the fiscal year 2020 audit, and it's now posted on, www.pacifica.org. I've downloaded it from there. I think I sent out the audit in one of my emails this in the last few weeks to the entire LSB and Finance Committee. But people can go there and download financial documents for Pacifica anytime they want. the main excuse me. I need to clear my throat. The main news is that the current fund drive has, the basic stats on the current fund drive, are that we're raising, the daily dollar average of pledges is $5,499 per day. The pledge total, as of, last night was, $236,000, $475, and so I've written, Michael, there's awful background noise. I don't know where it's coming from. I have no control over it.
The only thing I see lighting up is your phone. I don't see any sounds coming from anybody else. Most people are muted.
I muted Beth and Lawrence just in case, so that they know they're muted.
Okay. That background noise has gone away as the two of you were talking. I'll try and continue my report. So I've made a short special report on the KPFK finances for this meeting, which is I sent out as a PDF file. The financial situation, I'm going to read it for the audience and for those haven't had a chance to look at it. The financial situation at KPFK is dire because I hear all this noise.
I don't. Just keep talking. We hear you very clearly.
Okay. The financial situation at KPFK is dire because of the summer fund drive is performing very, very badly. At a daily average pledge of $5,499 per day, the operating cost of running the station is on average $8,977 per day. These averages represent an approximation of the basic problem we face. This means that each day the current fund drive we are losing more money than we are taking in. We are losing approximately $3,500 per day now. The fund drive is in a death spiral, in my opinion. I don't know what more I can say to convince us you of our dire financial situation. We have crossed a critical threshold this fund drive when the daily average went below the daily operating expenses of the station. We're now in new, more dangerous territory financially than I've ever seen before. There's nothing more I can really say about the financial situation. So I'm going to turn this over now for a discussion by the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. I'm wondering if either Barry Brooks, our business manager, has further information to share on this question, or if James Sagerton wants to say anything from the National Finance Committee. Barry? You'll need to unmute yourself. Thank you.
Yeah, Fred is right about
try. Try to speak up, Barry. You're very faint.
Fred is right, correct, in describing the fund drive. It was very dismal for the summer drive. Because of this, we are short in paying some of our vendors. So currently, like, I'm in kind of like a holding pattern for about six vendors that that I'm trying to pay for. So that total is about $25,000 that I need to pay for. One of the significant vendor invoices is the Southern California Edison bill that needs to be paid by probably by the 15th of September. The most crucial point of going through September, we're not going to be in fund drive, but we are in somewhat of a soft fund drive where we will still be collecting donations. The most important and critical expense is, of course, the payroll that is going to be due on the 15th of September and also the employee health benefits. So, we're in a very difficult situation. That's all I have to add for.
Michael, could I add something? Fred,
yes, go ahead,
Blair.
Fred.
The numbers I quoted on the daily average are pledge numbers. That's not fulfilled pledges. That's just the raw pledge numbers. Our typical fulfillment is 75% the first month and somewhere in the 90% range after that. Our operational expenses on a daily basis are $8,900 a month a day. Our daily average for the spring fund drive was over $9,000 a day. So as I say, this is the first time we've dropped below this critical threshold. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. I was wondering if you could say anything about the other income for the station besides the fund drive. Because I know we do have a certain amount of sustainer income that comes in every month. We have some other sources in terms of money that has come in from the car donations and other things that are independent of the on-air fund drive. Do you have a sense of what that revenue looks like for this month?
Bit of a good news in that we received $3,000 in sponsorship income that was generated by Maggie LaPique. I got that $1,500 check today. And then also for the charitable contributions to car donations, we're expecting in the neighborhood of about $14,000. So that's going to help pretty much. And let's see, anything else? That's all we received in the last month. That's that. There is a pending check for $14,000 from a living trust, but I believe the check is written out to the Pacifica Foundation. So I don't know. Terry Guy is the one who's handling that, and I think he's going to present the check to Lydia for further processing.
Okay, thank you. Bella, you have a hand up?
Yes, thank you. So how much was that check for, Barry?
That check was for like approximately $14,000.
Okay. So I wanted to make an observation here, and I can always come back later. I've got a lot of stuff to talk about. I did an analysis of the last three fiscal years. We're just about ending our fiscal year 2021, September 30th. And just like I have been saying for quite a while, let me go there one moment. Regarding the stats covering the cost of our premiums, because we just get a Legion's report showing what has come in, what has been pledged. I keep asking for the cost. Now, in these Allegiance reports, there is a column that is that specifies ad premium, but that has never been clarified if that is the actual cost against that amount of money that has just been pledged or collected. So I wanted to alert you to two figures here, fiscal year 19, fiscal year 20, and fiscal year 21 again right now. So I added all the income that all the expenses that should have been paid to the national office so that the national office can carry out its network operations. And that per year comes to about $568,600,000. I added those numbers. It declined in fiscal year 2021 to $375,651. What that comprises is monies that we have up monthly obligations to both PRA, Pacifica Radio Archives, and the National Office. And that's what totals those numbers per year. Those numbers continue to be shown on our profit and loss as having been paid because we are not getting the proper documentation, which is a balance sheet on a monthly basis, even though it has been requested many, many times from the organization high.
Okay.
So that is a total of $512,074. That we do not have any accountability for. So that's for 2019, 20, and 21. Then I go further. I added.
Okay, Bella, try to wrap it up. James Sagan has a hand up too.
Yes, good. So I added all the costs for the premiums fiscal year 19, 20, and 21. That comes to $717,554,000. These are enormous drains on any income that KPFK receives, especially under the current COVID situation. So we have drains that we are not covering. And this is the area that we need accountability for, to find out where our money has been going. Thank you, among other areas. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. James Sagerton is the chair of the National Finance Committee. Is a PNB member from WBAI. James?
Thank you, Michael. You know, we've made a lot of cuts at KPFK in the area of personnel. We're now looking at administrative and operational cuts in terms of telecom, which is, you know, your phone and your online services. There's also the issue which Bella brought up of the premium cost. We already did change the archives electric bill to remove it from the revenue in terms of your central services formula, but maybe it's time for the archives to pick up their share of the electric cost there. Your electric bill is very high. Of course, it's a radio station that's understood. Also, you know, after we look at the phone, telecom, computer systems, we could look at the office machines. I understand that there has been some layering on of systems that were established as systems were added to solve problems and to address issues in the past. We didn't always eliminate the redundancies that were left behind. And just as an example, I know that the KPFK station has recently undergone a reexamination of their whole telecom expenses. They were at $175,000. Now they're down to $50,000. So we think there are some savings available in that area. I also want to suggest a solution because the only other place to go after all of that is personnel. And we can't talk about that here, but certainly want to avoid as much of that as possible. The thing I want to talk about, though, is also some kind of a solution for the current situation. When WBAI was taken off the air in October of 2019, we had to improvise because when we were taken off the air, our bank accounts were the signatures were changed and we couldn't use Volusion, our credit card processing company, because all the authorities had changed on all of that. So it took until mid-November before we could get back to full fundraising. And October was always our best fund drive month. We were averaging $10,000 a day before we got taken off the air. But so we improvised and we developed a system where we have a 52-week schedule for fund drive. Some critics are calling it the 52-week fund drive, but it's not that. It's a schedule for fund drive where we do between 3 and 4 hours of fund drive a day, every day. And, you know, we adjust it sometimes if we, you know, we're doing okay, we can back it off a little bit. If we are in stress, we can crank it up a little bit. We never do fund drive 2 hours in a row. We never preempt the program more than you know, 2 times in a row. It's been, with a lot of work, it's been distributed over the grid to be very effective. And the importance of this is that after a 35, 37 day fund drive, the listeners stop coming. We lose about a third of our audience every year in Pacifica, and we have to build it back up again. And if we could eliminate the loss of audience from the long fund drives, that would go a long way to solving our long-term problems. So, and it keeps the money coming in on a steady basis. And I must say, the crunch at KPFK is going to come in a couple of weeks when we have the mid-September payroll due. And as has been pointed out, when you're not even making your current expenses, when you're in full fund drive mode, that's going to be a real problem. So again, this is a way to keep the listeners coming. It also makes them available to hear pitches. And it also allows the producers to know when they're going to be preempted and hopefully encourage them to make content-based pitch drive, appeals for donations. You know, listeners listen to a particular show because they're interested in that show's subject matter. If you're selling, you know, other things during that hour, it's not necessarily related to the audience that's there. So this would give producers a chance to create, pitches that reflect their own values and the focus of their own programs.
That's
all for now. More, mm-hmm. Let me just say finally, okay. More of that will be said. We're going to have a finance committee report tomorrow night on the PNB, and the WBI general manager will present what he's doing, and the KPFK directors will have the slideshow with, you know, the basics of that system that they can bring back and send to your finance committee or whatever, your management. Thank you.
Thanks. So are there other questions or comments from LSB members at this point?
I can make a comment, Michael.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Barry.
I just want to make a comment about the last. We had two on-air hosts resign and one programmer resign. Okay. And getting back to Bella's comment about the central services, KPFK has always played this. Paid their central services for the PRA. So we have always been in correct paying their central services. But the other thing,
you have to speak up.
Other central services to the national office has not been paid. But we have been paying our PRA central services. And that's current.
Thank you.
Lawrence to the stack.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
I have my hand up too, Michael.
Okay, then
thank you. Go ahead. Yeah, Ali, right, I'll go after you.
Yeah. Yeah, Ali, go ahead then Lawrence.
Hey, Ali, I'll go after you.
Yeah, quick question for James Sagerton. Could you tell us how that fundraising model is working at WBA? How successful is that?
Well, it took a while to get it up and running, but over the last 5 months, our goal is $100,000 a month, which is small compared to some of the other stations. But over the last 5 months, on average, we have met our goal. Sometimes we have a slow month. Sometimes we have a better month than the goal. But right now, we've cranked it up to where it is meeting our goal. And now that we have our audits done, you know, hopefully we'll be able to branch out. And I encourage KPFK to take advantage of that and apply for grants. We are appealing in our newsletter and on our air for grant writers to come and do some grant writing pro bono. So there are solutions. It's just, you know, they do take time, and we might be facing, you know, we are in a cash flow crisis at KPFK. So we need to act quickly. Things have to happen.
Thank you. Okay. I note that Robert Payne has joined the call on the telephone and on Nancy's computer. And so next on the stack is Lawrence Reyes and then Harvey. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. I'm certainly looking forward to the presentation from WBAI. I also intend to provide a motion in regards to a strategy plan for tomorrow's agenda that I think needs to be considered as well. Because I think in the kind of cash flow crisis that we're in, the financial crisis that we are in, we need to put everything on the table that could possibly help us. We need to look at everything that could probably help us. So my question to Barry is, how likely are we to make payroll on September the 15th? If you could provide me with an answer in regards to that, because that's one of the concerns that I have. And I'm also concerned that the hemorrhaging that's going on right now is extremely dire. And so how likely are we to make our payroll at KPFK, knowing that there are very few rods to be unturned for financial assistance? Thank you.
Okay, well, seeing that we had two on-air hosts resign and we had one programmer resign, it's going to be very close whether or not we make
that. Wasn't my question, Barry. That wasn't my question.
Excuse me, Lawrence, he's answering your question. Please let him finish his sentence.
So what I'm saying to you, it's going to be very close. I'm positive in thinking that we can do it. But it will be close. It might be short, like maybe $10,000 or in that neighborhood.
Thank you.
Follow-up, if I may, Michael.
Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
It'll be a follow-up. Thank you. Also, how about the health coverage? Is that going to be being able to be covered as well? Are you hopeful for that?
Okay, we paid our August health coverage past Monday. I'm probably going to pay the health coverage probably about the end of September, around the 26th or 27th of that date. I'll have to see what position, what cash position we'll be in at that time. But hopefully we'll make it. I don't know. Again, like I said, we're going to be in soft drive, and that money still will be coming in, but it won't be fast.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman is next.
Okay. For the National, it's my understanding that the National has filed a preemptive lawsuit against New Day Pacifica.
I'm sorry, Harvey, that's not pertinent to what we're discussing.
Yes, I want to know what the costs are. What are the costs of filing that lawsuit, and what is National Pacifica paying the union, lawyer's firm that is busting the union? We need to know those numbers. How much is the National's lawsuit, preemptive lawsuit, against New Day Pacifica costing, and how much are we paying the union busting law firm? Those are critical numbers, and I'm sure our listeners, supporters, would like to know.
Okay, thank you. Not sure if anybody here can answer that question.
This is James.
Go ahead, James.
I'm not sure we have the invoices for that yet. I don't think we can answer that question.
God. Well, we need to know what these lawyers' fees are before we can legitimately ask our listeners to support a national network that is paying legal fees to file preemptive lawsuits and to bust a union. Why would any
Michael?
Listener give
That's your characterization. I'm sorry. Nobody's busting a union.
Yes, they are, and we need to know what the money is. We need to know.
Can I do have a partial response on that question?
Okay, hang on a second. Excuse me. Wait to be recognized to speak. Was that James saying as a partial response?
I do. And again, it's not on this particular issue, but I can report, just for example, the KPFA Protectors lawsuit, which sued our chair and our secretary, cost us $71,000 to defend. But we are going to court to try and recoup those costs. So that's just an example of what one lawsuit
you
cost.
Filed a
okay.
preemptive lawsuit.
All right, thank you.
You filed a preemptive lawsuit. How much is it?
Okay, your question was asked, and there's no specific answer yet, Harvey. There are a lot of hands up, so we're going to go on. I'm not sure of the exact order. I have Janine, Bella, you already spoke once, hang on. I have Eric Jacobson and Beth Van Gunten. And then Sue, we will be taking some public comment in a minute. Go ahead, Janine.
Hi, thanks. Barry, do we have any deposits down anywhere? So that would be for any of the vendors or... a lot of times unions require deposits or payroll companies require deposits. I was just curious if there's money out, could be many years ago. Or if we could find that out because, you know, I know SAG on a individual project requires a substantial, like 2 weeks of payroll as a deposit. So I would be curious, it could be something that no one's aware of because it's been from so long ago when the union started, but it's there to ensure payroll if something happens. So I'd love to find out about that.
I'm not aware of any type of fund that's available to us.
Can Barry speak up?
I am not aware of any fund that's available to us after any other union. Okay, so I'd have to look into that. So I'm not aware of any.
If I can just, it's sometimes called a bond.
Okay.
So you're the person to check on that.
Thank you. Okay, I have Eric Jacobson, then Beth Van Gunten, and then Lawrence and Bella both want to speak again.
Thank you, Michael. I wanted to respond to Harvey's remark. I don't think that calling a litigation firm union busters is appropriate. I'm quite certain that there is not a goal to bust the union in anywhere in Pacifica, but there are issues because of what turns out in hindsight to have been inappropriately generous union contracts that have to be renegotiated prudently because we're a nonprofit, we're not a profit organization, so the model of traditional labor management relations doesn't fully apply. But I'm not going to belabor that. I want to mainly also say that the way that came about in relation to this so-called preemptive lawsuit was that Beth Keene, one of the New Day organizers, indicated to Arthur Schwartz and others that this trumped up claim that the result of the election was wrongly reported by Pacifica, the referendum lost fair and square, for failure to carry the staff vote. But Beth Keene indicated at a certain point that they were going to press their point that they had won in court. And concerned Arthur Schwartz was the history of litigation being filed in Alameda County Superior Court, which is no longer the proper form. And if that had happened by New Day's filing, then there would have had to been an expensive preliminary motion, law and motion practice to get the matter reassigned to the Los Angeles County Superior Court, which is currently the litigate all disputes related to Pacifica, because we are now headquartered here in Los Angeles County. So the lawsuit was filed for that reason in Los Angeles County, and it was filed before the Superior Court. So the preemptive remark by Beth Keene that the matter was going to be litigated by New Day is what prompted Arthur Schwartz to act prudently Now, if this claim has any validity, I'm sure the New Day side will attempt to oppose this declaratory relief action in LA that's pending in LA County Superior Court, and the matter will be settled accordingly. So,
all right, thank you.
Tempest in a teapot, Harvey.
Can I point out the time? We don't have a timekeeper.
Okay.
And we would be in public comment at this point.
Yeah, let me take, I have one more. Ellis Beamer hasn't spoken yet, so let's hear from Beth, and then we'll take public comment. Thank you. And maybe someone can volunteer to be a timekeeper. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, this is Beth Van Gutten. I sit on both the local and the national finance committees, and both the local and the national boards. And I just wanted to point out that this meeting is focused on local finance, KPFK finance. It's not focused on any of the other stations or the network as a whole. The questions that were raised about the lawsuit and legal costs are appropriately national questions. They can be directed there. When that information is available, it'll be public. But I just want to do our best to try to keep the focus of this meeting on local finances, because we need that attention here now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Since the station has not been paying its national central services payments to the Pacifica National Office, that question is somewhat irrelevant. Okay, so we're going to go to public comment. I saw a hand up from, Bella. We did one round, Bella.
Michael, the question was asked, how much is the average cost of our legal responsibility? It is $6,000 for KPFK. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to take public comment. I see hands up from Sue Cohen-Johnson and from Michael Heiss. And other people can either raise their hand on the computer. I think it's star 9 if you're on the phone. Go ahead, Sue. You have to unmute yourself. Sue Cohen-Johnson, you have to unmute yourself. I don't know if you're frozen. We'll come back to you. Michael Heiss, why don't you go ahead?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have what I hope is a quick question for Fred and Barry. Is there a bottom line net number of what was pledged, less the cost of premiums, factored out the percentage of pledges that are generally paid, so that we have a bottom line number of what we really expect to receive, so the planning can proceed with that in mind? And the second question is, again, I apologize, I was working today and I didn't read the statements carefully. Is there anything in the way of a reserve fund that would be typical to cover things like this situation, or did it not exist, or regrettably, has it been spent through? Thank you.
Go ahead, Fred.
Okay, as far as the reserve fund There's no reserve fund at this point in Pacifica because of the financial situation. There hasn't been for a decade. There's money in different business units that can maybe be diverted, but that's a function of the executive director. And there's not very much because the financial situation has been draining any, as I say, any reserves that are available. The most that could be said for reserve was the PPP money from the government, which gave $1.2 million boost to Pacifica this year. As to the bottom line, normal fulfillment rate is 75% the first month on the pledges. Premium costs are paid are part of the operational cost of the station, and they're calculated later on, and it depends on the premium. Some premiums are very inexpensive, like electronic premiums that can be downloaded. Other premiums that are physical premiums that have to actually be physically mailed have other costs. There's been a general rule on premiums that the premium has to be 10% of the cost of what we're asking people to pledge. So if you're making a $150 pledge, the premium cost would be on the order of $15. The bottom line is that we will probably get somewhere in the 90% range on the pledges after several months. At this point, the pledges are below our actual operating costs, so we are in a true dire crisis. I'll turn it over to Barry for his take on your question. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say that, yeah, the reserve fund, we've got that PPP funding, and I think KPFK amount was about $350,000 that we received once in November and then once in February. As far as the reserve account, we did go to the Pacifica affiliate, all the money from them for payroll that we couldn't meet. Currently, we still owe the Pacifica affiliate $17,000, so that's probably not an option right now. And that's about it as far as the reserve that we might have available. Myself and Stuart Landau, who's the chief engineer, we are in talks with AT&T to cut back our telecom expenses. So that will help too. So yeah, we're doing everything we can to try to cut back our operating expenses.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sue Cohn Johnson, you were able to speak?
This is Alan Beach. Could I get on the stack?
Yes. Hang on a second, Alan. Let me just see if there are other people who want to make public comment. Colin, user 2, you have a hand up. I'm not sure who you are, but you're on the phone and you raised your hand.
Raymond Goldstone.
Go ahead, Raymond. Thank you.
I don't think I'm the next in the queue.
Go ahead. You're the next person in public comment who has asked to speak. Go ahead.
To say that this is a dire state of affairs, no exaggeration. My concern.
Somebody needs to mute.
You are muted.
Continue, Raymond.
Yes. I have an additional concern, and that is the new general manager. Presumably, he wants to be paid. And all of the numbers, haven't heard anything about, for example, the period September 15th to the end of September, which is still in the fiscal year. And I've looked at the numbers, and I don't know where there is anything like the deficit to cut. Thank you.
Thank you. Did we lose Sue? Oh, there you are. Sue Cohen Johnson, can you unmute yourself? You wanted to speak. Now is your opportunity. You have to unmute yourself, though, Sue.
Permission to speak.
Hang on a second, Alan. We'll try to get one more public comment.
Pass.
Passing.
Pass.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll come back to local station board members. Alan, you haven't spoken yet. Please do so.
I want to make 3 points. First, I want to agree with the people who say what we need is a bookkeeping system. We can't keep track of our money adequately. We need to really a good bookkeeping system. Secondly, I think that WBAI has made some experiments with their fund drives, which are really worth studying. They look very good. Seem to be performing well. Third, I think that the best thing
I'm
we
sorry,
can do.
Alan, Alan, hang on a second. Can you repeat your second point because there was a distraction from Sue Cohen Johnson? Repeat your second point, please.
My second point is we should look at what WBAI has done as they've reported. The changes they've made in their pledge drive, their fund drive, it seems to be successful, and it certainly makes sense to me. And I think we should look at it and maybe adopt it. Third, I think the most important thing for us is to activate our blog. Last January, we voted to have a blog. I have now paid a programmer to prepare the program for it. And I think we should install it and start talking with emails to our listeners and to each other so the listeners become friendly with us. We get to know them. They get to know us. And they will give us good suggestions for programming. They will enable us to reach to those communities that we are supposed to be serving, the underserved communities. And most of all, if we all talk together as a family, we'll get friendly and they'll feel more generous when it comes to looking at the pledge drives. Those are my 3 comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I think those are all productive suggestions. So Bella DeSoto and Lawrence have their hands up, and then I have a motion I put in the chat I'd like to introduce. Go ahead, Bella. You have to unmute yourself.
Yes. So the issue here is that we never do get to see the cost. Earlier, I announced the summary cost per year in the last 3 years, fiscal years, which is astronomical. But the problem then also on the other side of that, the income. The income has not been properly classified. So when we get income on our profit and loss, a lot of it is lumped. We need to segregate, pull out exactly what our fundraising capacity collection is, then remove from that number, deduct our cost. But it has to be a direct cost. But it's not only the premium. We also have overhead costs. And then we pay sometimes for people to pitch. We shouldn't be doing that. So there are a number of levels of issues here that really must be ironed out, because we are not in the business of providing premiums. We are an educational license, and that's what our program grid must reflect, our mission, which has not. And this is why we are where we are. Because we're not talking about programming. We're talking about how to keep cutting, keep cutting. Now we're doing that because we have not paid attention to the programming grid. But if we had, as it was 13 years ago, when we had capacity of $1 million only three times a year to fundraise, and that covered everything and more, and we were training the youth, we had a full-time news department, we were out in the community everywhere, the community was in the store, right, in our station. This is what we need to return to. But we seem to be doing patchwork because we are not really working at this holistically. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ed. Lawrence? Go ahead, Lawrence. You have to unmute yourself.
Thank you. So I still have not heard any local resolutions or any local proposals. And I just want to remind everybody, including those who are listening, we are a hand of five fingers. That means five stations. And in the palm of that hand are the affiliates. So to say that we are, for some reason, going to just rely on a model that might be proven somewhere else and not nowhere else, that's not a local model. That's something that we still don't know what it is. I still don't know what it is. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. And the other thing is that the business manager had mentioned that the reason why we are suffering is because of the staff that has resigned. But I also just want to say that there has been a lot of depressing of the fund drive in regards to some of the things and some of the actions that have been taken by those staff members. So I just want to be able to qualify that.
Okay, we're not, going to get into personnel matters on this call.
Okay, we're not getting into it. But I just, because the business manager did report that as a rationale as to why our fund drive is very sluggish and performing poorly. So I just want to say that at this point, we are not the little station that could. We are a huge signal with a far-reaching signal. And to say that we are here to discuss local matters, I mean, just recently today, there's been a Fair Campaign Provision complaint in regards to talk about preemptively fundraising money with the explicit purpose of being able to file lawsuits from New Day Pacifica. So again, please, there was nothing done preemptively. Everything, every legal action that we take is vetted by the Pacifica National Board, and it's not done without authorization.
Okay, thank you.
So I just want to be able to local solutions.
Yeah, so speaking to that, I did put a motion in the chat. If you're on the phone, you can't see it. I'm going to read it. I did send it out by email just now. Move that the KPFK Local Station Board strongly urges management to convene a strategic planning process, strategic planning meeting incorporating governance and paid and unpaid staff to come up with a plan for meeting KPFK's expenses on an ongoing basis, including seeking grants, developing a plan for distributed on-air fundraising on an ongoing basis that does not interfere with broadcasting. That's essentially a reference to the BAI model. Seeking media partners that can help develop new attractive programming that will rebuild our audience, calling out to lapsed subscribers, economizing on other operational costs and other possible methods for bringing the station's budget into balance. And ordinarily the chair does not make motions, but given the urgency, I'll ask if somebody else wants to make that motion on my behalf or just let the body consider it.
So moved, Bella DeSoto.
Okay, thank you.
I have an amendment.
Go ahead, Janine. And then I see your hand, Harvey.
Well, the original...
Valero?
Yeah, I see your hand, Harvey, but Janine has the floor.
That's fine.
The original motion to meet for this meeting back in August was that this meeting was to be scheduled at the convenience of the IGM and the incoming GM in hopes that they could attend. So and it was actually my motion. And what I wanted to try to do is get the new GM's input on, you know, I mean, he's coming in 2 weeks. So I'm wondering if we can make a modification so that this is something that he can participate in.
Sure.
Second that, Bella.
Okay. Any objections to that amendment? I don't hear any. Okay. So we'll consider that incorporated.
Can you please repeat that?
I think her amendment was to add the incoming general manager to that formation.
Okay.
Even before he officially takes office. So I didn't hear any objections. We'll incorporate that into the motion. Maybe you can type that in, Janine, or copy it. I did put in the chat and I sent it as an email to the LSB, although apparently my emails to the LSB list have been going into people's spam folders lately.
Michael, okay, Harvey, Michael, point of information.
Exactly would be, it could say strongly urges the GM and the incoming IGM.
The IGM and the incoming GM.
Right.
Yeah.
I just changed. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Michael Thread, information.
I'll be very brief, and then I'm going to sign off. In response, I was named. This was very much a preemptive lawsuit. It did not respond to any technical lawsuit. It responded to
hearsay. You are unmuted.
And we are going to be paying for it, and I strongly object to any kind of legal expense to pay for this preemptive lawsuit. Secondly, I would strongly suggest that one of the reasons that KPFK's listener donorship is dropping is because more than two-thirds of the listeners of KPFK voted for the New Day bylaws. And we have a situation now where the listenership vote of KPFK, no matter what you want to say about the general, which also, as far as I'm concerned, is illegitimate, but nonetheless, the KPFK listenership voted overwhelmingly to change the bylaws as per the New Day proposal, and that is one of the reasons that they are not donating and will not donate, because they do not view the current KPFK management as being legitimate. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Artie. Let me take another round of public comment, because I do see Colin Hughes of 4 has a hand up. Someone on the phone, calling user 4, you raised your hand.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm calling from New York. This 52-week fund drive does not work. WBAI operates at a deficit of about $25,000 or more per month. So while there may be ambassadors of the 52-week theory, I suggest you examine it very, very closely before you adopt it. A newsletter, our September 1st newsletter, says in one paragraph, this model seems to be working because we're attaining our financial goals while maintaining quality programming and even increasing listenership. And then paragraph 2 says, in spite of a lack of funds, we try our best to cover breaking news with little or no paid staff. This lack of money also continues to hinder our ability to bring you a strong morning show on a consistent basis. So those things don't jibe. Somebody's not telling the whole truth here, okay? And it is problematic that we have two four-day a week morning shows, and they're regularly preempted on one of those days. We even preempt the news. Who preempts the news? I mean, one of the basic things you do for your listenership is that you provide a news summary at the end of the day. BAI preempts its news for fundraising programs. Some of these, you know, Christine Blasdale, Gary Now, who has his own water filter, he has a water filter named after him now, you know, this sort of home shopping network nuttiness. I don't know that you guys need any more of that than you may already have. So don't swallow whole what it is people are peddling. Thank you.
Thanks. Sorry, I was muted. I just want to see if there's additional public comment. Is there anybody? Andrew, go ahead. You have to unmute yourself, Andrew. Andrew Weiss, you're recognized, but you need to unmute. There you go.
I'm sorry, I had to unmute two things. Two things. First of all, I think with all due respect to Mr. Wasserman, I don't think he speaks for the listeners or the membership. I think we ought to talk to them and find out what they feel, why they do or do not donate. Personally, myself as a member and a listener, and as a current sustainer, I continue to donate. One of the premises for me to donate is having the general manager and the LSB come on the air once a month at least and communicate with the listeners and respect the listeners and find out what it is we feel, what it is we want our money to do, what kind of program do we want, and hear us out and explain to us how our money is getting spent and just to respect us. And for the past 3 years, and perhaps before that, but definitely for the past 3 years, the previous general manager refused to do that. He did it maybe once or twice in his tenure, but certainly didn't do it monthly. I would prefer weekly even. And I think that's probably the big problem we're in right now. And I think the new interim general manager is changing that. And hopefully the new general manager will continue that. Come on the air and speak to us listeners and allow the LSB, our elected representatives, to communicate with us. Then you can find out how we feel and what we want. And I think we will be more than happy to continue to donate. Thank you very much.
Alan Beek would like to get on the stack.
More than happy to continue to donate. Thank you very much.
Alan Beek would like to get on the stack.
Can someone mute Sue Cohen?
I think I heard I was granted permission to speak.
Alan, yes, I hear you, but we're taking public comment right now. There are a few. Sue, you have to mute yourself. We're taking public comment. The next on the stack is Kelly Flores, and then Sue Cohn and Ruth Strauss, and then we'll come back to the LSB members, and hopefully we'll have some discussion of the motion. So go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments from previous speakers. I wholeheartedly agree. I've been, you know, long-time customer of KPFK, and I really feel like, you know, the respect the listener and find out, you know, what the listener wants to hear, you know, the comments about hearing local news and not having to, you know, buy a water filter, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to get some information. I think it's really important to take into consideration what's being said. I also, you know, think the planning thing that you're talking about, Michael, is extremely important. We definitely need to have like some kind of emergency, you know, meeting, and Janine is right on, you know, the mark with inviting the new managers. I also just am feeling really demoralized about the state of things right now. And I feel for the staff, as I feel for, you know, everyone else who's volunteering their time but we really need to save KPFK. We need to go back to what was working before, and we need to, you know, up our ante and do something different with planning ahead, you know, with stuff that the community is really connected to and not, you know, just for the small elite that can afford, you know, those huge packets. But thank you.
Thanks. So Sue Cohen is next, but Sue, please turn off whatever recording device you're using, that when you open your mic, we hear the rebroadcast what people just said a minute or two earlier. So you can unmute yourself to speak, but.
I think she typed in that her mic is not working.
Oh, all right. She raised her hand that she wanted to speak. I don't know. All right. Ruth Strauss.
Hi, thank you. I'm a broken record, and that is that we had a perfectly good way to assess what our listeners wanted when we filled out a questionnaire in January for Annielle Fields that took me about 40 minutes to fill out, and that disappeared. I've raised this point many times. Mo says he can't, quote unquote, find it anywhere. I think that he or somebody could get in touch with Annielle to find out where that data went, absent the data that we now have, which is none, because, you know, we're trying to get money, but we have had no town halls. And I beg to differ about the IGM holding any town halls or reports to the listener. I don't think I've heard one. Maybe there was one. The one last night, Beth Van Gutten and Michael Adler ran. That was, you know, I don't to the listener, nor was enough time set aside to get listener input. So, you know, people can talk all they want about, you know, needing to find out what listeners want. If you don't have a town hall or some mechanism for them to voice it, then you're not going to know. So, again, I would implore Mo to get in touch with Annielle and try to find out where those results went that went to every single member in January. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. There are a few comments in the chat. One says, KPFK went off the air last month for a time. Must the station pay for the electricity during the silent time? And the answer to that from Ali Alexa was yes. KPFK was still transmitting at full power, but it was transmitting dead air. That's repeated again as a question. How much of the principal, from Yoshio, how much principal of the FJC loan has been paid? I don't know if one of the directors can answer that. I know that they have had a couple of payments that did reduce the principal somewhat, and they adopted a policy to put a share of any bequest income. Can anyone speak to that? Anyone on the PNB might be more privy to that, or from the NFC? I don't hear an answer.
This is Beth. This
go
is
ahead, Beth.
I don't have those figures from the top of my head. I can get them for you. If James Sagerton is with us, he may be able to speak to that more specifically than I. But yet some small portion of the principal has begun to be paid down. Thank you.
Okay, Fred, thanks. Two comments and
Fred here,
ahead,
also.
Fred.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The principal for the FJC loan is paid on a quarterly basis. I think the yearly principal is about $250,000, and we are up to and we are up to date on payments.
I think you're talking about the interest, right, not the principal.
I'm sorry, the interest is correct. And some small part of the principal has been paid down. I think $100,000 or $200,000 from one of the bequests has gone to that so far. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. A couple of other comments in the chat. Maybe not selling expensive packets of New Age gimmicks to cure all ills. So I think that speaks to the question of reducing the premium costs that was also raised. Ask the workers from 2015 to advise us. I think that's a reference to when the station was more successful financially 6 to 10 years ago. The call center is a huge drag. Again, that speaks to the cost of the fundraising. The development costs are very, very high for KPFK. I think James Sagdon also referenced that. James, you have your hand up. You want to speak to that again?
No, I wanted to speak to the question of the FJC loan and
we're
paying down the interest or the principal. We are making the quarterly $50,000 interest payments on a regular basis, and we are up to date with that. We're current with that. The principal has been paid down, like Fred said, I think it's probably closer to $100,000, but between $100,000 and $200,000 by a bequest. It was part of a bequest from WBAI. It was dedicated to that. And I don't know how much everybody knows about this, but we are selling the KPFT studio, which during COVID suffered a mold infestation and it's become uninhabitable, and we're selling that building. But it was part of the collateral for the FJC loan. And therefore we will be paying a substantial chunk of that money that we get for that building to pay down part of the big loan. And in addition to that, we're actually the market where that studio building was has gotten more expensive over the years. And we're actually looking at maybe getting as much as $1 million or more dollars for that building. And so again, that can be used to pay down a substantial part of the loan and to find KPFT a new suitable location for them to restore their station. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Hang on a second. I see a couple of comments in the chat. Mike Bressler is leaving. So thanks for the chance to sit in. This is a very informative meeting. I have to leave, but it seems like the strategic planning meeting is pretty important in looking into means of expanding the listener base and the cost benefit assessment of current fundraising practices. Sue Cohen says the call center is killing our pledges. Michael Heiss said that it's not just a question of the cost of the premiums, but they turn us into a home shopping channel rather than a radio station that works to meet a Pacific mission statement. I also want to respond briefly to Ruth. Ruth Mo was on that call with, maybe it wasn't clear if you tuned in late, but Mo, what you heard speaking through the first 15 to 20 minutes was Mo talking about the local station board, not about his own stuff, but he was on. And one of the things I think he tried to do in terms of the pitching was to accentuate the positive, which I think is important. We can't really pitch successfully if we're poor-mouthing and bad-mouthing ourselves. It has to be, what we offer and what the service we provide to the community. We have to be engaged with the community to do that. All right, so coming back to...
I knew that he was on, okay. But again, I think we're, need to have listener input.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so coming back to the local station board, I see Eric Jacobson and Bella have hands up. Eric, go ahead. You have to unmute yourself, Eric.
Michael, I just wanted to, not to belabor it, but I did put it in the chat just now. I'll just read what I posted. Unfortunately, and I thought I had to reply to Harvey's repeat comment, and it goes like this: all Harvey's New Day group has to do to save Pacifica from further spending on the declaratory relief lawsuit is to drop their preposterous continuing claim to have quote unquote won the referendum despite having clearly lost it by virtue of the staff majority vote against it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bella, you're next.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to set the record straight. Ruth and I are in agreement with this. Last night was not an address to the listeners. I don't care how you classify. It was not what needs to happen. Okay, and nor was it a full, explicit LSB address communication with the listeners. These things should never be joined. Moving away from that, I wanted to point out that, again, I bring you back to the programming, but before that, I wanted to say that if we do, at this new form and this new committee that will be formed, if the situation of programming is not in a position of at an integral level, then you are going to miss the boat, because we need to shift away from where we are and have been. And I do not believe in 2015, based on the numbers, that KPFK was successful. We have to go back to 2008, October to be precise, when we even had the folio, when we had a full-time news department, when the station was thriving. Why? Why was the station thriving? So let's look at that. Let's look at the record. Let's look at the numbers. I mean, you know, the numbers don't lie. And how can we sustain this with these huge costs? And absolutely, our personnel has been the nonprofit area of KPFK, and the resistance to skim down is what has brought us here. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, I see Janine has a hand up. You have to unmute yourself.
I was just going to ask Bella a little more about the outreach committee, because, you know, it's kind of a lost opportunity that we don't have the town hall happening sooner.
Oh, yes. It will be.
We didn't plan on an update, but.
I forgot to mention it. The town hall is scheduled for the 26th of September, working directly with a new incoming general manager so that it gets adequately promoted. Also on tab is a email blast to the membership to announce it promoted. So all of that is being laid out. So the 26th is the next KPFK town hall event.
Well, if I can just follow up, one of the reasons too is that if we could put some by the time this meeting that you have in your motion, Michael, comes together, you know, I'm just wondering if we could, you could have an interim outreach meeting, Bella, so that we could start brainstorming a little bit more, because that could be a much bigger event than just a town hall.
Yes.
And I would love for you to schedule that, and I would love to
sure.
kind of double down on it. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds great. Sounds great. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. So I think it, you know, this isn't all hands on deck, and it's not, you know, one person or one thing going to solve the problem, but because it's been building for a long time. But the motion is, I don't have exactly what you language. Move to the KPFK local station board strongly urges the interim general manager and the incoming general manager to convene a strategic planning meeting. I would say immediately. Incorporating governance and paid and unpaid staff to come up with a plan for meeting KPFK's expenses on an ongoing basis, including seeking grants, developing a plan for distributed on-air fundraising on an ongoing basis that does not interfere with broadcasting. And I heard the cautionary notes from the caller, but I think that it's been a huge problem here that we've been in almost nonstop fundraising that does preempt programming, and we have to find something else. Because as James said, it's driven too many listeners away. Seeking media partners that can help develop new attractive programming that will rebuild our audience. Calling out to lapsed subscribers, economizing on other, I'm going to add, development and operational costs. So development refers to the cost of raising the money, and that's the premiums and the call center and so on, and other possible methods for, got to scroll down. Other possible methods for bringing the station's budget into balance. months. I think that the certainly the outreach committee and the town hall is something I think we should think about actually broadcasting the town hall, given it's going to be virtual anyway. I think we need to think about rebuilding the Friends of KPFK network around Southern California that used to exist once upon a time, so that, 100 people are thinking about how to raise money and how to do community engagement, community outreach, not just, 25 or 30. So that's the general motion. I see a few more messages. Let me just see. Okay, I think somebody just retyped that. Any further comments on that as a motion with those additions and amendments and the general idea?
Michael, can you send it to the email list again, please, now that it has been edited and amended?
I can do it if you want.
Yeah, can you do that, Jenny? Thank you. Trying to look at two screens.
I think at daytime, I think that it would be appropriate for this motion to also hold a timeline, just to put a little bit of pressure, urgency for the incoming general manager. Because we, no one can sleep on the job here.
So I don't, people want to say within the next 10 days, something like that.
He would have to make himself available way before the 15th. This is why I keep saying this was a very arbitrary late date.
Within the next week, he has family obligations. He had to move. He's resettling. I think he's currently in Europe.
Reasonable.
Yeah. So why don't we say within the next week to 10 days? That's still prior to his actual start date.
Okay.
Today's the 1st. That would be the 8th or the 10th.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
Back on that item.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have a contract with him, and it feels disrespectful to start making demands on his time and attention before he actually gets here. He's going to be in the midst of moving and reorienting his life. He's not on the clock yet, and I know our needs are great, but that's our problem. He didn't create that. I have reservations about, honestly, I'm really not looking for this interim general manager to make major changes before the new GM gets here. I'm concerned about the slate being wiped absolutely clean and him arriving to find desolation, the whole place having been deconstructed. And I think if there are major changes to be made, it should be left to the prerogative of the new general manager who will be here permanently. He has a permanent commitment. Mo is hardly here. He's hardly here. And I don't think he's well positioned to be making major permanent strategic changes. I'm looking mostly for stability until it's someone to hold us upright until the new GM gets here. So I'm really not looking to push this faster than what the actual timeline, the current official timeline proposes. I don't think it's fair to the GM, and I don't think it's wise of us on this end of things. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Just to say, FYI, whatever, I have been CCing the incoming GM on all the documents and some of the stuff that's gone on the LSB list, so he's aware of the financial situation. Mo has said that they met together and spoke at great length when they were both in D.C., so he's although he's not on the clock, he's paying very close attention. And you know, the motion just says strongly urges. And, you know, I think it's just an expression of urgency in that sense of the financial picture. I don't think it's, burdening him any more than, you know, the situation is for us to propose that there's a way forward. But that's my response. So I see hands up again. I'm not sure, Jeannie, is your hand up again or still? Or
I put it up again. I agree.
Okay.
You know,
Janine, Bella, and Lawrence.
I think that
the host will be informed that you would like to
whether,
speak.
You know, he can, it could just be an hour or two on a call to listen and make a few suggestions, you know, rather than also going in a direction and have him not, you know, and this is a temporary direction. This is just probably something for September and into October. And I think that it would probably be the first thing he did when he landed anyway.
Okay, thanks. I have Bella, Lawrence, Fred, and Jan. Why don't we change that order because Jan hasn't spoken at all yet, so we'll have Jan, Fred, Lawrence, and Bella.
So the executive director should be the person who is in charge of fundraising, so I suggest that we have the executive director give direction in this regard. And I cannot help but saying you don't need a weatherman to tell which way the wind is blowing, according to Bob Dylan. And, you know, we've fired or chased out the main fundraisers. So it kind of, and the major staff at KPFK. So that's why we're losing money. I mean, that's why our fund drive is doing so poorly. Super simple. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Fred, then Lawrence, then Bella, and myself.
Can you hear me all right, Michael? Fred?
Yes.
Okay. I understand where this motion is coming from, the frustration, the fact that management is not meeting with us, either the interim manager or the new general manager. So I'm also reluctant to push forward this motion because, the managers are just not, present and it's really frustrating for us here in governance, not being able to have a discussion about these really important issues that are existential for the station. So I'm torn on this. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence, then Bella. You have to unmute yourself, Lawrence.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Is
Hi.
That,
Lydia saying,
this is Lydia. I have to jump off the phone. How many more minutes are we going to do, reschedule a meeting? Or I have to drop off the call. I just got back into my hometown.
If you can call back in when you're home, we might be on until 7:30, I think, about another 15 minutes.
All right, then I'll try to hold on.
Okay, thanks. Lawrence, did you want to speak as well, or was that just for Lydia?
Yeah. Because I'm really getting tired of this mantra that keeps being put out there. That for some reason, people who are scaring away listeners and monetizing them and not respecting them all of a sudden are being chased away or being fired. That needs to stop. Really, you need to desist from that kind of narrative that that you keep putting out. And I'm not going to say any names, but you know who you are. Because this fund drive was depressed as a result of some of the actions that were taken that happened from there. So what I would like to suggest in regards to this motion, I too don't feel comfortable asking somebody to come in before their contract is in effect. So what I would suggest that you do is, in regards to this motion, and maybe this might be a way to go, is that the incoming GM be invited, but not insist upon him coming. I understand that our head's on fire and we really need to take some action, right? But I also understand that that when somebody's on the contract, we need to honor that contract. That's a covenant that we enter into with them. And it's just professional, to be able to do that, you know? So I would encourage, that this motion be somewhat modified and that the incoming GM be invited, but we don't insist on him coming and participating because, it's not his start date. So anyway, I just wanted to say that and you know, all of this position about, blaming us again, for the behavior and the enabling behavior of some people on air is really needs to stop. Take responsibility for your part. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bill, I know you've had your hand for a while, but I see Kiana raised her hand. She hasn't spoken yet.
As long as I go after her, please.
Yeah, okay. Kiana, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to add something. I'm a staff member. And quite frankly, the problems have, as mentioned before, the problems with the network and KPFK are vast. But the one thing, as I have said before, that is consistent is the intrusion of the board members, local and national, not letting people in-house trained to do the work, actually letting them do the work without overstepping, overreaching, demanding of managers while the managers need to do their job. It is very problematic. And that's not really something that anyone wants to hear because who wants to hear that they're in the way, right? So, but that is, it's a fact. And there are many reasons in that same vein as to why people are being fired and why they're leaving. Whether you want to admit it or even like that notion or not, it doesn't matter. It's just literally, it's a fact. Dispute it all you want. But also, to be quite honest with you, it's kind of like having the receptionist tell the surgeon how to do their jobs is what it really boils down to. It's a lot. It's too much. And they're working, being in radio and knowing how to function in media is very multidimensional. And it's not anything that can just be won from a board perspective. That's just not the nature of a board. And so I really think that maybe the board should activate some wisdom and step aside and do more listening to those who actually do the work and maybe more observing. I'm sorry, that just has to be said before the place just totally goes to hell. Thanks.
Thanks, Kiana. Bella, you're next, and then I'll call myself.
Okay, thank you. That is the exact recipe we do not want. That is exactly what has happened for years now. The LSB has been shut out from the station. So if the truth be told, that's what has happened. I need to address two things. The motion needs to pass. Too many reasons for it. If we soften the language to invite him, to urge him, he will understand. He's a grown-up boy. He does not need to be, he knows and he understands the urgency. I'll leave that there. So I will be voting for the motion. It's very critical.
Some of the people that said that they don't want to vote for this motion are people also at the Finance Committee who did not want this very meeting to go through. So, please, I need to straighten out something that was said on air at KPFK last night, and this is very critical. It has to do with the responsibility of the budget formation. It is not, I repeat, it is not the responsibility of the LSB to formulate and draft an agenda. The agenda's responsibility, it is the management. They're paid to handle that, right? But unfortunately, the people we have hired had no idea how to prepare a budget. And this has been a major issue. Now, on top of that, in the last 3 years, at least 7 of them were rejected by the Finance Committee, therefore by the LSB, therefore the PNB was not able to receive a workable, reasonable, logical budget from KPFK. So all of that is part of the mix of the equation. So I wanted to straighten that out because wrong information went out the airwaves, and that is exactly what New Day says, that the board is responsible for heaven, right? We're not. In fact, we have little powers. Got to change that. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll call myself. If people are concerned about urging the IGM to participate is a stumbling block to the motion, I think we should go back to the original motion, which was just urging management to convene this immediately, and then we can invite the incoming GM as his capacity allows. I don't think that's the main issue. The main issue is that it is an all-hands-on-deck situation. We need to bring together in a collaborative fashion the paid and unpaid staff, the management and governance, and all of us need to use all of our good offices to try to engage with the community, not only of listeners, but of former listeners and of potential listeners out there, because that's the basis of the survival of the station. I've been reading a couple of books on habit and changing habits, and one of them is about what's called a keystone habit. A keystone habit is the habit that you change that enables a lot of other changes to happen. And clearly, we need to change some habits at KPFK because our current habit is a downward spiral. And I think the keystone habit is responsiveness to the listeners and responsiveness and engagement with the community at large. And the LSB is one mechanism for that in a democratic media organization such as ours, not to be disparaged. And it has a role to play. And that's not a dictatorial role, neither is that of management. It's a role of collaboration and a role of trying to raise up a culture that can sustain itself and be of service to the community so that the community uplifts, upholds, and maintains the station in return. And that's the solution we're all looking for here. So I would... there's a question in the chat. Who is management of KPFK? Currently, management of KPFK is principally the IGM and secondarily the business manager. I think those are the only two remaining management positions. The invitation to the incoming general manager, because he's not management yet, would be what stands. So we can rewrite it any, along those lines. Janine, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to suggest then if it is something that we're going to take the incoming GM out of, that they can provide a report of what the suggestions are, so that there's something to, there's some groundwork done.
Yeah, no, I think we will invite them and we'll invite him to participate, to the extent he can and wants to. I fully intend to keep him informed as I have been.
Well, that the meeting, whatever meeting they convene, that there be notes that are again,
Yes, the whole point of the meeting is to try to come up with some concrete ideas that any implementation is going to happen. It's not going to happen before the 15th. You know, it's just not realistic. So he'll be the manager.
And provide, so can we say, and provide this plan to the, well, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just.
I think it's pretty clear what we're talking about. We're trying to get people together to, you know, brainstorm essentially. And any concrete, you know, specific proposals or any concrete relationships with particular, you know, media partners or, you know, creation of the Friends of KPFK or anything else is, you know, it's not going to happen this week or next week. You know, let's be realistic. But it has to happen soon and as fast as possible.
Do we do a roll call vote?
Yeah, I heard some objections, so I guess you when you want to call the roll on that. People have a general understanding that, I'm sorry the language is not right in front of me, but people have a sense of what we're talking about. We're urging management to convene this process very quickly, with the understanding that there's a new incoming general manager that we will invite to participate if he can. We'll keep him informed as it develops, and we'll try to get something happening.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
I would just suggest that you ask first if there are any objections. Then if there are, we can vote.
Okay. Are there objections to that? Is that a consensus, maybe?
Jan Goodman, I abstain.
Okay.
Are there any more abstentions or objections?
I don't hear any. Anybody needs to unmute themselves?
Fred.
Going back to business.
Michael Fred would like to abstain also.
Okay.
Are we still on public comment?
No, we're back to, we're trying to see if we can wrap up our business with adopting this motion. You want to speak to that, Alan? Go ahead.
No, when we're through a public comment, I want to get back to business.
No, we're at our business. The business is the motion to try to have management convene a strategic planning meeting very immediately, incorporating governance and paid and unpaid staff, and inviting the incoming GM to look at the
I don't want to speak to that motion.
Okay.
I want to get the floor and make another.
All right. Okay. Then hang on. So hearing only two abstentions.
This is Beth. I'll abstain too.
All right. Why don't we just take the vote then? And
because we're losing time.
Okay.
Can you need a motion again, please?
I put it in the chat. I can read it.
I'm on my phone.
Okay. That KPFK LSB strongly urges management convene a strategic planning meeting immediately, incorporating governance and paid and unpaid staff to come up with a plan for meeting KPFK's expenses on an ongoing basis, including seeking grants, developing a plan for distributed on-air fundraising on an ongoing basis that does not interfere with broadcasting, seeking media partners that can help develop new attractive programming that will rebuild our audience, calling out to lapsed subscribers, economizing on other development and operational costs and other possible methods for bringing the station's budget into balance.
And we're inviting the IGM, the incoming GM, I'm sorry.
Do you want me to put that in there?
Yeah, I think that was my understanding.
Okay, so that'll be towards the beginning where it says convening a strategic meeting immediately.
So you can put it at the end.
The incoming GM to be invited. Okay, So I'm going to the roll call. Michael Adler?
Yes.
Thank you. Alan Beek?
Yes.
Thank you. Fred Blair?
Abstain.
Okay, thank you. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Thank you. Jan Goodman?
Abstain.
Thank you. Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Thank you. Avelia's not here. Ali Lexa?
Abstain.
Thank you. Robert Payne?
Payne votes yes. Let's have that meeting. Why aren't we doing that meeting now?
Okay, thank you.
Lydia Ponce? Not sure she's still on the call. Lawrence Reyes? Lawrence, are you still on the call?
Yeah, Lawrence votes yes.
Okay, thank you. And do you still have Lydia on your phone?
No, she's no longer on the call.
Okay, Lucia Rivas?
I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Paul Roberson?
He had computer problems. Let me see if he's still here.
He can chat.
I don't think he's on the call any longer.
Janine Roan is a yes. That's me. Mansoor is not here. Oscar Ulloa?
He had to leave. Remember, he said he was doing his...
Oh, right. Paulina Vasilia?
Yes.
Thank you. Beth Van Guten?
I'm staying.
Thank you. Harvey, I don't believe Harvey's still on the call. Kiana Williams? Okay.
I don't think I see Kiana either.
Yeah, okay. So we have 9 yeses, 0 noes, and 4 abstains for 13.
Okay, we still have a quorum. We have a majority in favor. So.
The chair may want to vote.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, chair votes yes.
Okay, so 10, 4, and 14.
Yeah, 10-0-4.
Yeah, sorry, 10 yeses, 0 noes, 4 abstains, total 14.
Thank you. Okay, Alan Beek, you had something else you wanted to move before we wrap up? Alan Beek, you have to unmute yourself. Alan, you have to unmute yourself. You said you had a motion. Go ahead.
We are 1 month to when we have to start the new 22 budget. I think we're behind on the schedule of preparing that budget. 1 week ago, I sent a proposed budget to the Finance Committee. It's in balance. It pays the interest on the note. It pays a little bit, a modest amount, on paying off the original note. I move that we submit that budget, since it meets every criterion we have, to the National Finance Committee for their consideration as the input from KPFK.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to rule that out of order, Alan, because as Bella pointed out, the drafting of the budget is a management responsibility and prerogative. The LSB has a different responsibility, which is to look at it and forward it with a recommendation to the PNB. So we're not going to adopt that budget in advance of the management actually making a proposal of what a balanced budget would be. And it's also out of order in terms of this meeting, which it was a special meeting for the purpose that we just undertook. All right, thank you, everybody.
Mr. Chair, may I say something on Alan Beek, to Alan Beek's behalf? It's that his motion is very good motion. Him and I worked on it together. It's a very good motion. And I sent it to James Sugerton a long while ago. There has been a response from him regarding to give him some guidance.
I'm sure it's a great motion. It's just out of order.
Budget.
Yeah, we can take it to the business manager, take it to the general manager, and we'll take it from there. All right, thanks, everybody. I think
it is out of order. That motion is in order. It's our job to submit our budget to the national as part of the schedule of what's going to be done.
Yes, the reason it's out of order is it's not. This was a special meeting called for the purpose that we just carried out. And it's out of order at this meeting. You can bring it up at the general meeting, the regular business meeting in September.
Alan, the move is out of order. It's not out of order unless we vote that it's out of order.
Okay, you're appealing the ruling of the chair. I'm just saying that we've been meeting for over 2 hours. I think people probably have reached the limits of their endurance on this meeting. It's not, I'm saying that this was called the special meeting for one purpose, which we fulfilled that purpose. We have a general business meeting in less than 2 weeks on the third Sunday of the month. There will be a finance committee. Excuse me, let me finish speaking, Mr. Beek. There'll be a finance committee meeting before that. And if you send to the finance committee can discuss it. That's my ruling. So if you want to appeal, go ahead.
I do.
Okay. You want to call the roll? Janine?
What are we voting on?
Alan Beek has a motion that we present the budget from the LSB to the National Finance Committee. I ruled that that's out of order at this meeting. He can bring it up to the Finance Committee meeting and the next general business meeting of the LSB, but not at this meeting. He's appealing my ruling that that motion is out of order.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. It is out of order. We should not be wasting any more time. Although I want his budget to have prominence, this is not the place. It's the Finance Committee.
I understand, Bella, but he appealed the ruling of the chair, my responsibility in the chair.
But that is
not Excuse me, Bella. Be quiet, because you're not the chair. I am. His motion is out of order. He's appealing my ruling that his motion is out of order. He's entitled to a vote on it. Let's just do it. If you vote yes.
Okay, Michael Adler.
Yes. Yes vote would uphold the chair.
Yes to uphold the chair.
Thank you. Alan Beek?
Yes, overrule the chair.
No. In that case, you're voting no. Yes upholds the chair and no overrules.
Mr. Duffy, you say yes is to oppose the chair?
No, Alan. Voting no is to oppose the chair.
Okay. Thank you. I vote no.
Hey, Fred Blair.
Yes, to support the ruling the chair.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto.
Yes, to support.
Hey, thank you. Jan Goodman. Okay, she's not on. Eric C. Jacobson.
Abstain. I didn't follow the details enough, so I'll abstain.
Okay. Ali Lexa?
Abstain.
Okay. Robert Payne?
I support the chair in all matters.
Okay, Lydia Ponce is not here. Lawrence Reyes? I'm not sure. Maybe he's not on. I'm looking at something else. Rocio Rivas?
Yes.
Thank you. Paul Roberson, I don't think he's on anymore. Janine Roan is a yes to uphold the chair. Oscar Yoa is not here, I don't think. Polina Vasiliev, are you still with us? I don't think so. Beth Van Guten?
Yes.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman is no longer here. And I believe we have 7 yeses, 2 noes. No, I don't have, sorry. 1 no, 3 abstains, and 11 total.
And okay, Chair upholds his own ruling. Chair votes yes as well. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Fred moves to adjourn.
Okay, thank you. Any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your patience and your interest and your support for KPFK.
Have a good evening. Thank you, everybody.